Let's turn to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verse 16. We want to read you verses 16 and 17 and speak to you this morning on the subject of the Christian Handbook and Troubleshooting Guide. The Christian Handbook and Troubleshooting Guide. Let's read these verses here and see what they say. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Now this is a great overview of the Bible, isn't it? This thing that speaks about the Word of God, because brothers and sisters, this is the Word of God. We have it here today. And that's what Paul was writing to Timothy about. Now, probably the same thing that's happened to me has happened to many of you. You've gone through experiences in your life, and I've gone through more than a few lately, that have made me really aware of how important handbooks and manuals are, and how important they can be when we're trying to understand a tool or a machine or a process, or when we're trying to fix something. We have an adage in America: if all else fails, read the instructions. Well, listen, I think every one of us who have ever tried to fix something we don't know anything about have come to really appreciate the wisdom of that kind of statement. Read the instructions. And we've come to value manuals and fix-it books and troubleshooter guides. And you know, I've always made a habit of getting an auto repair manual for almost every vehicle I've ever owned. And when it comes time to fix something, we can always take out the manual and cut down on time and effort to get to the solution by simply understanding more clearly either what the procedure or steps are to fixing the item, or what the item is made up of. What is it all about, this machine or this tool or this piece of equipment? How does it really work, and how do I need to know how it works in order to fix it or to use it better? Now, as I prayed and thought about this week's message, the Lord used my awareness of how important, how useful manuals and troubleshooting guides were to point me to the fact that Christians have just such a book. And right here it is. This is the Christian's Handbook and Troubleshooting Guide. It really is. Too bad too many Christians leave it gathering dust on the library shelf or on the coffee table rather than when they run against a problem and need to fix something or know a little bit more about something that they confront in this world. They don't pick up their handbook and troubleshooting guide and find out more about it. Too bad they look everywhere else before they finally are led by the Lord, pushed by the Lord, sometimes driven by the Lord to open the Christian handbook and find out about what is confusing them. This is God's gift to His people as a guidance document to be used for instructions and troubleshooting. Our verses tell us that. Now, it gives information that can be used to understand every part of God's created system. There's really nothing God has left out that we need to know about His created system. He's got it here in the book. And what we don't understand about His created system, there's mention of it somewhere in the book, and if we're confused once we read the item about it, the words about it, God can clarify that because He's got a tutor that goes along with the book. He's called the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit can guide us into all truth. The Holy Spirit, Jesus said, can and will guide us into all truth. But there's a thing about that verse I wish all of you would think about for just a moment. He says he will guide us into all truth, but there's a caveat to that that's not mentioned there. It's mentioned elsewhere in Scripture. In such well-worn verses of Scripture as study to show thyself approved and others, it's mentioned that the Spirit of God will guide us into all truth, but only as much truth as we seek answers to. If you're not seeking the Holy Spirit, it's not going to cut open your head and pour it in. It's not going to cram it down your throat and make you eat it. But rather, He'll guide us into all truth when we're seeking that truth. So our tutor is with us. We have the handbook, the Christian Handbook and Troubleshooting Guide. And I could spend years preaching on the various subjects that are covered by this handbook, and you know that. But I'm just going to try today to highlight a few things about this precious, priceless guide for Christians. And believe me, I'm only going to touch the surface. And I trust that the Lord is going to give us understanding and appreciation for what we do touch on today about the Christian Handbook and Troubleshooting Guide. Now, I want, first of all, to point out something else about this troubleshooting guide in this Christian handbook. And that is that not only is there a tutor provided with the handbook, but there's also an accessory activity that the Lord points us to that's associated with the use of this handbook, that if we don't use the accessory item, we'll fall short of making full use of the handbook. I want to read you something in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, that points to that something. Now, follow me on this, because this is important for us to know. It'll give us an insight about what I'm talking about. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. For every creature of God, Paul begins to say, for every creature of God, or for those of you that don't study the Greek very much, and I'm not asking you to, but that might be said this way, for everything that is a created thing of God, okay, for everything that was and is created of God, that's what that says. Usually when we read creature today, we think of some crawly, creepy, or otherwise four-footed animal walking around out there, but now, in the Greek, that would be every created thing. So it covers more than just creepy crawlies and four-footed animals walking around. It covers everything God's created. Keep that in mind when we look at it. For every created thing of God, he says, is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. Now here's my keystone verse. For it is sanctified by the Word of God. Anything wrong with that finishing up there? Have I finished? No. For it is sanctified by the Word of God, he says, and prayer. And I want you to realize that when we begin to use the handbook, the Christian Handbook and Troubleshooting Guide, this great Word of God, this Bible, we need to realize that every aspect of studying and using the handbook is sanctified by the very fact that it is the Word of God, and by prayer as we begin to use it and look into it. So we see, and we want to say that prayer needs to always go along with opening and referring to the handbook. Everything is set apart to the great God of heaven and to our usefulness by the Word of God in prayer. And it's true with the handbook, which is the Word of God. Now, the apostles were confronted in the book of Acts, chapter 6. They were confronted with how to take care of the widows and the orphans and people in need in the congregation in Jerusalem. And they could see right away that they were going to get burdened down with waiting on tables, speaking literally. That's what they brought up as the issue. And so they thought about this and prayed about this, and they told the church, "You, congregation, you need to elect yourself some deacons to take care of this, in order that we as the apostles don't have to be tending tables and waiting on those that have needs." We recognize they have needs. We recognize that the church needs to tend to that, but we as the apostles don't need to be attending to it, and then we need somebody else to do that as representatives of the church. And they finished their instruction to the church with this statement about what their business was. Now listen to it. Acts chapter 6, verse 4. "But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word." They put them together, didn't they? Prayer and ministry of the Word. And you say, "Brother Bob, how are you connecting that with using the handbook?" If those of you that stick nose around in the Greek a little bit, when you get home, get out your Greek lexicon or your Strong's and look up that word for ministry of. That Greek word there that was translated out into the English as ministry of. And what you find out about that word is that it means not just what we normally think of it as meaning, preaching and teaching. But that word means tending to, or giving attendance to. So what they're saying is, we're going to be busy with praying and tending to the Word of God. Well, as we think about that tending to, we have to come to realize that preachers don't just jump up and preach from out of nowhere. Well, maybe some of them do, but those that are called of God and preach the Word of God, they don't just jump up and start preaching out of thin air. They tend to the Word in times before time to preach so that they can tend to the Word and getting it out when it comes time to preach or teach. That's what they do. That's what everybody does who's working for the Lord, seeking to handle and present and minister the Word of God to people, to congregations. They tend to the Word before and they tend to the Word during. And most of the time there'll be some tending to the Word after. So you can see how this verse from the book of Acts, chapter 6 and verse 4, this verse is about praying and working with the Word of God, isn't it? So they tied it together, and that's what I want us to do. I want us to realize that it's critically important when we start to use the handbook, start to use the troubleshooter guide, God's holy Word, this great Bible, we need to pray about the book. As we read, before we read, pray about it and ask for God to guide us. Why is that? Well, because prayer acts like a good customer service hotline, brothers and sisters. It opens a communication by God's invitation between you and Him about what you're about to look at. "Lord, I'm looking for some answers about this problem in my life. Help me now as I read the troubleshooter guide. Help me to understand what I'm needing to do about this problem, what the nature of this problem is, and how I can use the guide, the Christian handbook, to find a solution." That's what we need to do. Now, that guidance that we read to you first in 1 Timothy 4, verses 4 and 5, where that it points out that every creature is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, we find that this same guidance about prayer associated with the Word of God, this same guidance tells us something else. It explains how to use and think about the handbook and the things that are discussed in the handbook. If you go back to that verse, you'll notice that it says every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. There's a bit of instruction from the handbook about your attitude and viewpoint about things in the world that God has created. Some guidance, some practical guidance about how to handle and think about God's created things. So, the handbook teaches us everything of God, every created thing, is good, nothing to be refused if it's received with thanksgiving. A lot of people encumber themselves with a lot of hang-ups about can't do this and can't do that and can't do the other, can't have this and can't go there and can't do this and can't do that, and end up manacled, hamstrung in their Christian life because they don't realize that under the constraints of righteousness, every created thing on the face of the earth that God has created is able to be turned to a holy thing, to a consecrated thing, to something that can glorify God. Now, the big issue in Paul's day was overeating meat that was offered to idols. And there was a big hoorah about that. And Paul used some time to explain that the idol is nothing. And that which is sold in the local marketplace that's been offered to an idol, don't be making a big ceremonial issue about it. Buy the meat, take it home, cook it, and eat it. Because the idol's nothing. The falsity of it is nothing. But God is everything. Because He created those things for our use. So the handbook is very clear about how we can think and handle situations involving every created thing that God has made. Now, there is a way to use the handbook, and I want to spend some time with that, and we hopefully will get through this part before we're out of time. There's a way to use the handbook. How are we supposed to use the handbook? I want to invite your attention to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2, and you're going to have to read here with me what the apostle says and think about it in the sense of using the handbook or how to use the handbook, because this is a negative statement, or in other words, it states how not to use the handbook, and I'm going to spin off of that to talk about how to use the handbook along with how not to use the handbook. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 2, Paul is talking about himself in relation to how he's conducted his ministry, and he says, I have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, and here's my phrase, nor handling the Word of God deceitfully. You know, there's a lot of people in this world today that make this great book a club to beat people with. They make it a gun, if you will, to shoot people with. They make it an arrow to strike people's hearts with. Well, that's kind of deceit. It's a great thing to point out sin by using the Bible to point out sin. But to use it as a club to beat people over the head to bring them into subjection to your viewpoint is wrong. And a lot of people do it today. And use the Bible for a lot of other things. There's a whole religious conglomerate out there that uses the Bible to convince people of doctrines that are false. That's using the Word of God deceitfully. I mean, the world is full of so-called Christian denominations or religions that are today taking this Bible and reading a verse and telling the people that it means thus and thus when it means nothing whatsoever like that. That's using the Word of God deceitfully. There's a whole bunch of folks doing that today. But what we learn here about the way to use the handbook is we want to use it honestly. We want to do what Paul says in the last phrase of this verse, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Let me tell you something about using this handbook. When you use it as the truth that it is, it commends itself, and you are commended to the conscience of every living human being. I don't care if there's some people that say, well, you're just lying to say that that's what the Lord teaches and that's what the Lord wants. If it's out of the Bible, if it's the truth of the Bible, that person may say that, but down deep in the human conscience that he has, he knows that the truth is spoken to him. That's probably why he gets mad at you in the first place, if you're rebelling against the truth of God. And saints of God know right away. Their conscience tells them right away, affirms that you are speaking the truth. And that's what the apostle says about using this handbook. Not handling the Word of God deceitfully, but by showing the truth of God, you commend yourself to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Listen, if you can stand before God and present somebody with something out of this great handbook and feel the approval of God, and you will, if it's truth, then you've done your job and God approves of you, and every man's conscience who will own up to the truth of it will approve you. That's the way we use the handbook, not handling it deceitfully. You know, in Luke chapter 20, there's a story about the Sadducees coming to Christ and trying to trick him up with the thing about marriage. Remember the marriage of the woman to seven different husbands? And in the start of that account that Jesus engaged them with, it says that the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection at all. And then they came to Jesus. Well, the Bible's telling us, our handbook is telling us there, that those Sadducees came to Jesus with that seven dead husband story in order to trip him up about there being a resurrection. They wanted to use that event, that account of the seven dead husbands and who's going to be her husband in eternity, in order to try to show him that there's no such thing as the resurrection. That's using they were taking Moses' instructions. If you read that account, they said, Moses said, they were using Moses' account, the Word of God, part of this handbook, deceitfully to try to hang him up about eternity and the resurrection, the sureness of resurrection and eternity. That's handling the Word of God deceitfully. People everywhere do that. Now, so we have to, we don't want to be guilty of misusing the Bible, the words out of this handbook. We don't want to be guilty also of leaving out part of the guidance of this handbook. That's another trick, a little wand waving that so-called preachers use sometimes. They take a verse out of context and jerk it out there and say, see, the Bible says this, and that means this and this and this. And they're telling an untruth. They're taking a portion of Scripture and trying to make it mean what it would never mean in the context of the handbook. And that's something we don't want to do. On the positive side, we don't want to be guilty of ignoring or leaving out any part of the guidance and troubleshooting steps that the Lord gives us. And we don't want to be guilty of leading other people to believe that there are shortcuts or stories in the Bible or so-called lessons in the Bible that aren't there because we've jerked the verse out of context. And so, what do we mean? Well, what we mean is we got to use the whole handbook. If there's something about baptism in the book of Matthew, there's probably something about baptism in Mark and Luke and John and Acts and Romans and 1st and 2nd Corinthians and Galatians and Ephesians and Colossians and all of the books of the Bible. There's probably something about baptism. The whole story about how to track down that lead cable to get to the end is not just in Matthew. It may finish up showing you where that wire leads to in your troubleshooting down in Revelation. And so we want to be sure that we use all of the handbook to derive our solutions and to troubleshoot our problems. Jesus said it like this in the 4th chapter of Luke in verse 4. He said to those people that he was teaching that day, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by some of the words of God. Did he say some of the words? Now, all of you know what that says. But by every word of God. And so if there's something about troubleshooting your life problem in Matthew, as I said, there's something probably all the way through in Revelation and all the books in between, maybe. We want to get the whole story about how to handle life situations and about what the handbook says about such situations. Now, not only do we need to use the book without deceit, use the book in its fullest sense, not use any deception or trickery in the use of the handbook for ourselves and for others, but we want to use it for daily guidance and understanding. We find the great story of the Bereans in Acts 17, and in verse 11 of that chapter, as Luke writes about the Bereans, here's a wonderful truth that he said about them, and it pays us to use them as an example. He says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. And so we ought to make the handbook a day-to-day guidance item for our life. Do you read your Bible every day? If you don't, go home today and start now to read it every day. If it's no more than a verse, read it every day. You'd be surprised what God will do with a verse. I'd recommend more than that a day, but you'd be surprised what God will do with a verse. So let's use our handbook daily in order to gain knowledge of how to live life, what to do in our race of life, and how to do those things that the Lord's called us to do. David was really busy looking into the Word of God, into his handbook, and I understand his handbook wasn't as complete as ours is because he didn't have the New Testament. But he was busy looking in his handbook in the days of his life upon the earth. And in Psalms 119, verse 148, David said this, and it's such a great example of how we ought to try to be. He said there, mine eyes prevent the night watches. That means, in your language and mine, my eyes come open before the night watchman ever sign off, log off of their night watch. When it's time for them to log off, I've already opened my eyes, and listen what he's done with his eyes. Mine eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate in thy word. And so, I don't know what time you get up. I get up between 6 and 6:30. The first thing we ought to think about is the word of God, and as quick as we can get her to a place we can do it, we ought to sit down with a little bit of the Word of God, read that handbook and troubleshooter's guide, because today or tomorrow when you get up and get ready to go about your day's business, there's probably going to be something in your day that you need to consult your handbook about. And the Lord will help you do that and give you some ammunition for your day. You'll make it a thing that you do in the morning before you start your day. If you can't do it in the morning, if just the business of the day just takes it away, don't let the sun go down. Don't let the bed hit your head hit the pillow on your bed unless you've done that, because we need the handbook and we need to use it daily for guidance and understanding. Now, we also need to be carrying at least part of the instruction from this handbook with us all the time. We really do. David said it so well in the book of Psalms 119, verse 11. Here's what he said. Well-known verse by all of you, but think about what he's saying. He said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Thy word have I hid in mine heart I tuck some away, Lord. It's inside me, and it goes with me everywhere I go, with me every day. That's taking a little bit of the handbook with you when you go to work. It's very helpful if you can commit to your heart. And that's the only memory that lasts very long. Commit to your heart portions of God's great handbook and troubleshooting guide so that you can have it on hand to pull out of your mind, out of your heart when you need it. Now, we need to use the handbook as a behavior guide also. We need to remember to do that, and we need to make it part of our process or program of handling God's handbook. We need to make it a behavior guide, because what good does the handbook do for us to fix our lives and keep them fixed, to determine the right use of our lives and keep that right use going on, if we don't use the handbook as a behavior guide? In Psalms 119 verse 9, Brother David again says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" Now, I really believe that could be, "Wherewithal shall any man cleanse his way?" Because it fits, and elsewhere in some different words, it's said that way. "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to the Word," or thy Word, the Lord's Word, the book, the handbook, and troubleshooter guide. How to cleanse your way? Take heed to your way and make it be in accordance with the Word of God, the handbook. Make it be in accordance with means make your activities, your behavior, your thoughts conform to the guidelines in the handbook and troubleshooter guide. That's what we know will work to use our handbook as a behavior guide. David again said in Psalms 119:105, well-known verse by all of you, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." A lamp to my feet, a light to my path. It's a focused bit of light right where my foot's going to go down next. And when I look where I'm supposed to be going, the path is lighted on out yonder. Lamp to my feet, I'm not going to step wrong. And a light to my path, not going to get off of the path that the Lord wants me on, because the handbook and troubleshooter guide has lighted the pathway that I'm supposed to follow. That, brothers and sisters, is the secret, the key to using the handbook as a behavior guide. Now, we've got a lot of things, as I said at the start, that we could preach about this troubleshooter's guide, the great Word of God. But I'm going to stop right there and ask all of you to think about the fact that the Word of God is, in fact, our handbook and our troubleshooting guide. The Word of God has a certain way to be used. And if we use God's handbook, the Word of God, this great Bible, the way we've looked at this morning, we'll have all of the advice, all of the instruction, all of the solutions for our lives that we could possibly want if we just use it according to the way the Lord would have us to use it. All honesty, going before the Lord openly, being as it were a clean slate for the Lord to write that truth upon, and using it honestly and not deceitfully toward the rest of the world. Not leaving out any part of it, but using the whole thing that we might truly reveal what is the whole counsel of God, and that we might act out what we do according to the whole counsel of God. Brothers and sisters, it's easy to fudge on keeping the guidance of this great handbook and troubleshooting guide and following it to the max, to the minute, detail. It's pretty easy to fudge on that and make excuses for shortcuts or leaving off a step. We're great people for leaving off steps. I don't know how many of you have handled DC current, but you know there's some circuit boards and some connections in direct current systems that are really, really sensitive. And you can be working on those, and if you just happen to bring the negative and the positive together because you've taken a shortcut and not made sure those wires stayed separated, there are all kinds of little capacitors and transistors and resistors down there on your little DC breadboard, and all you've got to do is just short those together one time and poof, something will blow and the circuit is shorted, and then you've got to troubleshoot for how to get things straightened out. Well, we act like that sometimes with using the troubleshooter's guide and the Christian handbook. We try to take shortcuts, we're a little negligent, and we short the circuit, and next thing you know, what could have been a simple solution that the handbook could have showed us the answer to, we've made it into a complex problem that just causes a bunch of difficulties for us. So this is our handbook and our troubleshooting guide. May God help us to use it that way.